This morning we are starting a 12-week sermon series in the book of Jeremiah. We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 1 as we look at Jeremiah's prophetic call. I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. If you did not bring your own copy of the Bible, I would encourage you to grab the one in the pew rack there in front of you and turn it to page 533 and follow along closely as I read, for this is God's word to us today. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. Verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I say, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to, and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, I pray that you would guard my thoughts. You would guard my words, that I may not say anything careless or untrue. You would guard the intentions of my heart. We ask that you would speak to us even now, in Christ's name. Amen. I have to admit to you that I'm in a little bit of a contrary, grumpy mood this morning. I'm starting out the new year on the wrong foot, perhaps, but it's been welling up inside me for the last several years. I just feel out of step with the way that our culture celebrates every new year that rolls around. Some of you may experience this at Christmas. You feel like Scrooge, you just can't get into the Christmas spirit. And I found myself, on the years that Webb makes me stay awake till the ball drops, looking at the television and wanting to say, "Bah humbug," as the people party and celebrate, waiting for the ball to drop. I haven't been able to put my finger on why it was that I felt so out of touch until I was preparing for this sermon for this morning. You see, there's a part of me that I look at a New Year's celebration and it seems to me nothing more than maybe wishful thinking. This year's going to be great, and I want to go back and say, "Why do you think that?" Or I'm going to make New Year's resolutions and become a better version of myself. If you're like me, they're usually gone by March. I turn my attention to my NCAA basketball bracket more than the God's Word sometimes. And at its worst, I think it is so hurtful and unhelpful for those of us who know that 2020 will not start out in a great way. So we look forward and I walk around, and I've even, some people tell me Happy New Year and I want to not say it back. And I finally realized why I think I felt out of step with that story. You see, God has called us as His people not to just mark time by the rising and the setting of the sun, as if the world is going into some unknown future that you and I brace for impact at the start of the year. But you and I, at Mount Brook Baptist Church, we mark time with this big thing called the church calendar. And I'll have to admit to you that I'm still getting used to it. The only calendar I had at my church growing up let us know when the next potluck was going to be. But there is this bigger church calendar, and it starts in Advent. First Sunday of Advent launches us out as we wait in expectation for Christ to come. And we look forward to the day when He will one day return. And growing up, that was like a thing. We did Christmas, and we put all the stuff up, and we said, okay, what's next? I guess I should think about what might happen this year or make some resolution. But I've been reminded that my story is not one dictated just by 365 days of the year, but God's story of redemption frames my story. You and I look not to the future in hopes that the world's going to experience peace because we're going to figure out the mess in the world or that you and I are become a better version of ourselves. But we look forward in hope that what God has started in Christ, He will one day bring to a climax when Christ returns. Rather than you and I looking to the new year and saying, what will the stock market be like? Or how can I trim a few inches off my waistline? You and I realize that we look back that the Word of God has taken on flesh and dwelt among us. I was in the Contemporary Glorious Service and we watched a video presentation of the Christmas story. And I was taken aback as I thought again, God took on flesh and became a baby. That should cause you to say, what? Yes, that's what we believe. Right? For us and for our salvation. So that you and I, as the people of God, we cannot simply put away all the Christmas decorations and turn our attention to 2020 and the next Hallmark date on the calendar. No, we've been called into this mission that God has given us, that the Word of the Lord has come to us, and you and I are now called to respond. As fearful as we may be to respond, to carry out our part in God's mission to make the good news of Christ known, that is the calling that we've been given. I think I know how Jeremiah may have felt when he had the similar calling placed in his life. Jeremiah was a prophet during a very tumultuous time in the life of God's people. He was in the southern kingdom. He received his calling first, he says, during the 13th year of Josiah, which for those of you who are Bible scholars, you know that's a good thing. He's one of the few good kings that we read about in the Old Testament. He tried to bring about religious reforms, but like many of our New Year's resolutions, they came and they went. His reign went through the end when the Babylonians would come and sack Jerusalem and take many of the best and brightest away. This was a tumultuous time. But the thing that set him apart, he says, is that the Word of the Lord came to him. Now, I'd encourage you to go back this afternoon and read all of Jeremiah chapter 1. If you're feeling really excited about your New Year's resolution, read all of Jeremiah. It's the longest book in the Bible. Start out on a real exciting adventure there. But over and over again, the thing that sets Jeremiah apart is not his ability to speak well. It's not his intelligence. There's nothing about Jeremiah that we really know other than that he was the son of a priest. But we do know this, that the thing that distinguishes him is that the Word of the Lord came to him. Over and over again, he says, the Word of the Lord came to me. And you know what the Word of the Lord said to him? Listen again in verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was situated in a particular place and time in history, just like you and I are placed in 2020 in Birmingham, Alabama. But the Word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and he says, I want you to know that though you were placed in this particular time in history, I knew you before you were formed. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have to admit to you that this, when I was working on preparing for this sermon back before Christmas, I was walking around the church, I went up to the library, and I passed people, and I would just bump into them, and I would say, before you were born, God knew you. Does that make anybody else kind of, before you were born, God was at work? And what we hear in Psalm 139, that same idea that though you and I might be new to our relationship with God, God has known us from eternity past. Before you were born, He knew you. Before you were formed, He created you in the womb. And what did He say? He said, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, you and I might think this would be an exciting thing. Maybe God would call me to be a prophet in some way, but Jeremiah knew that his prophetic call would come with very, very difficult challenges. So there were prophets and priests in Jeremiah's day that were content to let the people just kind of ease along through life doing what they were doing. They would tip their hat to temple worship. They would worship other false gods. And there's a sense in which being a prophet is an easy job if you just kind of get everybody to feel like life is okay. When you say peace when there is no peace. And Jeremiah knew that his ministry would not be that kind of ministry, that he would be called to speak truth, sometimes very difficult, unpopular truths. There'll be a point in Jeremiah's ministry where he'll say, I don't want to say anything else, but it's like a fire in my bones and I have to speak. This is not a great congregation that he's been called to pastor. It's a difficult and tumultuous time, and he says, you've been appointed to be a prophet to the nations. Now, each of you who are here today, you have been called, perhaps not to the same ministry that Jeremiah was called to, but when you read the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus gets his disciples together, and you know what he says? All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Okay, so just in case you're wondering if this is optional, it is not. Go therefore and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. As you stand on the brink of a new year, if you are here and you are in Christ, then you have been called to go and to make disciples in some form or fashion. How did Jeremiah respond to his call? Verse 6. Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. I hear a lot of myself when Jeremiah comes back in response to God's call. Lord, I'm not that good at public speaking. Just ask the people at church. I don't feel like I have enough wisdom or opportunities, or I don't think that's for me. And perhaps you're here and you would say, oh, I've got lots of excuses of why this is not the time for me to be engaged in God's call in my life. I'm too old. I'm too young. What can I do? I'm too busy. If I could just show you my calendar at work and all the things that I have to do. We have algorithms on our kitchen a refrigerator to make sure that we've got all the kids where they're supposed to be and we show up. I'll do that later. I'll do that when I feel better. I'll do that when my calendar clears. I'll do that when I'm older. I don't know the Bible well enough. I was sweating when Wayne read Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 at the thought of how would I ever get up there and talk about those kings' names. I feel unqualified to do that. It's the same way that God's people have always felt when they were called. Moses was out minding his own business, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, this is what you're going to go do. You're going to go lead my people out of Egypt. And he said, now, I think you got the wrong person. Paul, in the New Testament, I can't think of a much more unlikely person for God to have called into the most important ministry that we would know is church. Most unlikely person God called and set apart for this ministry. If we're going to be the church that God would have us to be in this coming year, each and every one of us needs to answer the call that God has placed in our lives to be about the business of making disciples. It might be praying. You might say, all I can do is pray intently for our church. Well, do that. Right? Or giving, or going. It might be working in the nursery. Some of you are as fearful of that as Jeremiah was of his call. You're like, no, that ain't for me. He didn't call me to that. But the idea is that God put you here in this church, and you cannot sit on the sidelines and just think that everybody else is going to handle the work that God's called us to do. For us to be what God's called us to be, you and I have to give ourselves to the greatest work that He's called us to. And it's going to be difficult at times. There's going to be pushback. But there are people's souls at stake in what we're doing. That we're not just kind of showing up every Sunday and going through the motions of church and hoping that we have the donuts in the right place and that the sermon's okay, and that you and I have been called to bear witness to the word of the Lord that has come to us. Now, I find it very interesting how God responds to Jeremiah's assertion that he is not able to do this. My own inclinations, if you walked in my office and you said, okay, I listened to the sermon on Sunday, what needs to be done? And I'd say, well, we need Sunday school teachers. And you would say, well, I'm not very good at teaching Sunday school. I don't know that much about the Bible. My inclination would be what? To tell you, no, you've got this. You're smart enough. You're capable. You can handle this. The Lord does not tell Jeremiah any of that. He doesn't even pay attention to anything Jeremiah says, it seems. Verse 8, what does he say? Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. The thing that sets us apart for ministry is not our abilities or how great or how awesome we are. In fact, God delights to use weak, incompetent people to do really great an amazing thing so that He might be glorified in and through us. The assurance that we have of ministry is not that we've got this. Not that I'm talented enough or smart enough, that I can speak in front of crowds well enough. The confidence that we have for ministry is that God, who spoke creation into being, God who knew us before we were formed, who saw us before we were born, the God who spoke the planets into being, the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that He will be with us. I'm hopeful that I experience change in the coming year. I don't want to end 2020 grumpy. I'm hopeful that perhaps I'll become a better version of myself. That maybe I'll be in better shape by the time 2020 is over. Hopeful that maybe my finances will be in better order by the time 2020 is over. Hopeful that things are accomplished that I look back on. But here's the thing. I think those things are only going to come about, things of eternal, lasting value, if I give myself to something that is of eternal and lasting value. If the goal is to look better at the beach, I want everybody to laugh at one time, right? Then that's kind of a waste of time. If the goal is to have more money so I can retire earlier or have a place here or there, That's a waste of time. If the goal is to become more impressive or have more followers on social media or pretend that I am something that I'm not, waste of time. But if God gives each of us this overwhelming sense that He has called us to look back to what He has done for us in Christ, to look forward to what He will one day do when Christ returns, and that in the meantime, we're going to be about His business in this world, then it might be that things of lasting change will start happening in our lives. It might even be that I might change the way I eat because I want to be active longer, because I want to be a part of God's work longer. Might be that I start spending less on this, whatever this thing is in my life, and I start leveraging more of my resources for the kingdom's expansion. It might be that I start working my schedule around and I say, you know what, I'm not going to waste so much time on that because God has called me to this. I stand at the beginning of a new year, 2020, a crazy sounding year. And I'm hopeful, but it's not because there's a new year that's turned. Some of us will experience greater tragedy than we could imagine in 2020. Some of us will have more good and we'll hope that we always remember 2020. But wherever we are on that spectrum, you and I can be a part of God's eternal and lasting work in this world. When we get to the end of the calendar year, when we start to celebrate Advent again, at the end of the year, we might look back and stand amazed at all that God has done in and through us individually and as a body. As we decided that we would answer the call that He has placed upon our lives. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we thank You for the gift of Your presence in our lives. And we thank You for taking on flesh and dwelling among us. But Lord, we do not want to simply turn the page to another year and focus on our own pursuits or focus on things that will be here today and be gone tomorrow. We want to leverage our lives for Your eternal purposes in this world. Father, would You give us the courage to respond with obedience, courage to be truthful and to speak Your word, to be those who will hold out the hope of Christ that has come to us. We pray that You would not allow us to waste our lives on things that will be here today and gone tomorrow, that You would transform us more into the image of Christ, and that we would see Your hand at work in glorious ways as we seek to be Your servants this year. We offer this prayer in Christ's strong name. Amen.